Blog Talk Radio.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young boy. Out to make dough, make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, Janice the 14th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a very powerful show scheduled for you today, the foundation of foundations of foundations. Today, we're talking about the most important frequency on the planet, and that is our natural nature. Love is our natural, true nature. Love is our essence. Love is who we are at our core. Love, my brothers. Love, my sisters. I know that sounds familiar. It seems like a overused term or an overused word. So we want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the definition of this one word that is the true essence or the true core at the base and at the root. That word love is mentioned 310 times in 280 verses. So 310 times in 280 verses, we see the word love inside of the Helios Biblios or the King Jimmy or the King James Bible. Now, it's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because at the end of the day, we all are expressing a frequency, a wave, or vibration. That frequency, that wave, or that vibration is what we are experiencing in our life. The universe is like a boomerang. It sends you back what you send out. So if you're sending out the wrong frequency, the wrong wave, the wrong vibration, you're going to get back the wrong frequency, the wrong wave, or the wrong vibration. Love, my brothers and sisters, is a process of awakening to our true core essence, because God is love. Notice God did not say he created love. God says that he is love. And so it is this problem, or is this concern, because in all major religions, there is a central theme. That central theme is love. At the end of the day, love is the most powerful frequency on the planet. So we can do a lot of stuff. We can, it's really empowering. It's really awesome. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, nothing is more important than love. But what is love? See, that's the conundrum that a lot of people have. The first time that the word love is mentioned is inside Genesis chapter 27, verse 4. Genesis 27, verse 4 says, "And make us savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." So we see this term in Genesis chapter 27, verse 4. The first time we see the English word love mentioned inside of the Helios Biblos, and we see it comes from a Hebrew word, A-H-A-B, ahav. This word, ahav, is indicating a appetite. It's referencing a specific human emotion. This emotion, this frequency, this wave has to do with a desire. So the first time, or the first foundation of this word love, has to do with a particular desire for something. So love is a particular desire for something. That's the first time it's mentioned. It means to have a affection for something, a fond affection. So the word love in that scripture, along with many other scriptures, especially Proverbs 8:17, Hosea 14:5, Hosea 3:8, and I can go on and on through the scriptures that in the Strong Concordance number H157 that matches the Hebrew word ahav, which simply occurs, it does occur, or is mentioned 195 verses in the Hebrew. We get this word. It means the desire to breathe after something. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, in the name that destroys every yoke, touch the minds, the hearts, the will, the emotion, and the imagination of your people. There is, my brothers and sisters, faith, hope, love. The greatest of these three is love. God did not create love. God is love. Love is our natural nature, contrary to popular belief. Love, not hate, my brother. Love, not hate, my sister. Love. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. Love. God is love. We are children of God. We're made in his image and likeness, so we are his offspring. So the natural vibratory rate, the way that you can tell that you have spiritual growth, love is the process of awakening to your true nature, that there is something that you have a significant attachment to that is almost worth more than breath. Let me say that again. Love, my brothers and sisters, is, and again, the first time it's mentioned inside of the Bible, is meaning it's a significant desire to breathe after something. It's the significance. I was to try to take your life. That's love. What would you feel like if I put my hand over your mouth and over your nose and I tried to suffocate you? Whatever that desire is, that's love. Love is a desire, but it's really interesting, because when we look at the emotional baggage that we carry that stuffs out true love, true love really is hard to find. The desire, love is a desire to breed after something. Love is the ability to understand that there is a significant attachment to something, and that significant attachment, first of all, should be yourself. Second of all, should be God. Third of all, should be others. That should be, some people will say God first, but you cannot. The way that you find God is finding yourself. So it's self, then God, because God is inside of the self, according to the Bible that I read. The kingdom of God is within. Christ said that anybody who does not believe that I came inside the body, that I came internally, that I came in your body, is not of God. We have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ, the Christos, inside of you. So love is inside, it's not outside. So there must be a desire, the same way that you desire to breathe. If I was to put my hand over your mouth and over your nose, and I was trying to stop you from breathing, what would you do? I would gather that you would probably fight tooth and nail. You'd probably try to scratch my eyes out. Why? Because when someone, self-preservation is a fundamental natural state. There is nobody on earth that is devoid unless they are devoid of hope. And then that's when we get stuff called suicide and people get depression because there's a lack of hope. Hope is a lack of solutions. Hope is a disconnection from source of solution. Anytime you live your life removed from source, anytime you have a relationship with something or someone that is desired more than your own breath and that comes from your own God, you're in trouble. That's called depression. The word depression, that means depression, a lowering of one's mental state. So to love something means that you desire it the same way you desire your breath. Let me say that again. If you say you love me, that means that you desire me the same way that you desire to do that. If you, that's called breath. Okay, without that, you don't exist. So that's what you're saying. So when you say you love something, when you say you love someone, that means that you can't exist without them. Now you probably can, but you extremely prefer. See, love, the universal definition, the spiritual definition, love is the process of intaking something that gives life. See, breath gives life. If there is no breath, there is no life. So love gives something. So love is the creative force of the universe. That's why you cannot. That's why you cannot. That's why you cannot. I don't care what nobody tells you. You cannot. You cannot engage in any activity that you do not love. You cannot, because what you're doing, you're suffocating yourself. Do you know the spiritual cause of most disease is a lack of oxygen? That means lack of love. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people that they may hear what thus says the word of God. What is the spiritual cause of all health issues on the planet, bar none? What is the spiritual cause? What is the spiritual root? The spiritual root of all illnesses is a lack of oxygenation, a lack of getting a significant amount of oxygen into the body. You see, my brothers and sisters, love animates the body because love is breath. Love, the same definition that we have of breath is the same definition that we should have of love, but even most of the time we don't. So let me make sure you understand. There are toxins in your love. These are what I talked about yesterday, are spiritual STDs. So a spiritual STD is a sexually transmitted or a spiritually transmitted distraction, a spiritually transmitted disease. So an STD is a spiritually transmitted distraction that does something to the body. It takes away calcium. It takes away, you know, minerals. It takes away, now on a biological level, on a cellular level, if you don't get enough oxygen in the body, then the body starts to decay. It starts to entropy because of a lack of calcium, because of lack of vitamins or magnesium, trace minerals, trace enzymes, amino acids. The hyaluronic acid, this is the lubrication system, and I've talked about that word. That means the Hashem. So the hyaluronic acid is the Hashem of the body. That's the name of God. It's all throughout the body. Your body is filled with God's name. That's what the Yahweh Shin Vahe means, the biological equivalent of the Hashim is the hyaluronic acid. So hyaluronic acid is the fluid that your cells float in. It's the fluid that's between all of your joints throughout the body. The body produces it, but this starts to atrophy, or it starts to stiffen whenever there is a lack of love, thus causing joint and severe nerve damage. So there are a lot of people who are suffering from osteoporosis, suffering from arthritis, suffering from a lot of things because it is the stiffening because of a lack of hyaluronic acid. That is the fluid. That's the kind of like running your or driving your vehicle without oil. So if you drive your car without oil, what happens to the vehicle? It starts to decay. So what is the dangers of running the cell without oxygen? Now, remember, love is the same thing as breath. Again, this is the first that we got to go a little bit deeper, but I got to make sure that I drive this point home because a lot of people are suffering from, now remember, the root word. I'm talking about the root. So to find the fruit, you got to understand the root. If there is no root, there is no fruit. So the reason why a lot of us don't have root is that the reason why the word cannot take root is because there is no love. So Genesis 37:3, Genesis 37:4, Deuteronomy 4:37, for lack of time, for the sake of time, won't be able to read all of these, but you can look them up on your own. Leviticus 19:18, Leviticus 19:34, Ecclesiastes 5:9, 1 Samuel 20:17. Firstly, 1 Samuel 20:17 says he loved him as he loved his own soul. That's love. See, 1 Samuel 20:17, love is our natural state. Love is our natural vibratory state. You have a biological set point. You're programmed for love. So therefore, I got to deprogram you. How do I program you? I got to send you a spiritually transmitted disease called a distraction. So I got that there are sabotaging. I'm going to do a show on the seven sabotaging techniques of losing far. So it is this ability to over and understand, my brothers and sisters, that love of soul. What is the soul? Mind, will, emotion, imagination, and the intellect. So one who is loving and beloved, they love to initiate this process of soul connection. It is, excuse me, the process of empathy. Do you know in science, when you get really, really sick, you come down with pathology. So when we talk about pathology or a pathological something, what are we talking about? So what is your pathology? So pathology is connected with the causality of disease. So some people would say there are some people that are called pathological liars. So if you are pathological, what is pathy? So the science of studying the causality of disease, it's the branch of medicine that deals with laboratory examination of body tissue for the diagnosis of forensic evidence to prove a virus or bacteria. It is the study of the behavior of disease. So everybody, if you're sick, you have a pathological condition. Now, I need you to hear what thus says the word of God, because if you hear, Matthew 13 says that Jesus spoke in parables because it was for some to hear. And then it also says, for those that have ears, let them hear. So I'm praying that you hear, because empathy is the EM pathology. What I do is I give you your life pathology. This is your life path. Now, there are some people who have a psychological pathology. Those are called psychopaths. Then there are some people who are who have they have a sociological they are sociologically pathological socialists. They are oscillating or vibrating on a sociological path. We call them sociopaths. And then there are some people who are on a disease path, and we call them pathology. So all disease, there is a path. That's why your disease manifests in the body, because you are operating. Now, remember, the definition of the word pathology is the study of the nature of the disease. It is the structural and the functional cause and change of a particular path. So all disease is the result of you being on the wrong path. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people. All disease is the result that you're being on the wrong path. You're on a path, but it's not your life path. You know, or you may be a psychopath. Maybe you're on a social path. Maybe you are an empath, but you're on a path. So my quest for you today, brother, my question for you today, are you on the love path? If you're on any other path besides that path, love path, that is the electromagnetic path, that's the E-M-P-A-T-H. That's called empathy. That makes you an empath. Now, this is extremely important because a lot of people are suffering from disease because they're on the wrong path. Now, the doctor is going to tell you that, you know, when you've been on a path for a long time, you get to the end of the path. The doctor tells you that's called a symptom. You go to the doctor and they tell you the end of your path. But if you don't trace it back and you etymology, all I do is I'm a path tracer. I trace people's path. I follow the trail. If you follow the breadcrumbs, guess what you're going to find? You're going to find the causality of your mentality. You will find the causality, my brother. Love is the process of awakening to the true path. That's love. Love is the process. Love, if you are in love, you are a pathologist. If you are in love, you are an etymologist. Because to love someone, you got to see that they have a problem. And you got to trace their problem all the way back to the cause. And you see that the cause, do you know that we're joined to people by the frequency of our suffering, not our success? Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people. The people that are in your life is because y'all have a common cause of suffering. Don't believe me? Trace. Follow the breadcrumbs. Follow the path. Follow the pathy. Follow the pathological. Follow it using your EM, using love. Love is the process of awakening the path. Love is the process of replacing the pathology. That's love. Love is the process of replacing pathology. That's love. Love is the process of using breath to place the desire to breathe. You have a desire. You delight in helping someone that has oppressed, depressed, possessed. This is found, Father, touch the minds of your people. This is found in Hosea chapter 12, verse 8. He delights in oppression or the ability to oppress. Isaiah 56, 10. Jeremiah 14, 10. It's called Nephal. The Nephal, N-I-P-H-A-L, Nephal, where we get the word Nephilim from. They delight in something. What do they delight? All pathy, follow the pathy, follow the path. What problem you got in your body? What problem you got in your life? Follow the trail, follow the pathy. You're going to find Nephal, guaranteed. I got all my money on that there's going to be a Nephilim. There's going to be Nephal there. Don't believe me? Just read Hosea 12, 8. Read Isaiah 56:10. Read Jeremiah 14:10. Read about they love. Read 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 23. 2 Samuel 1:23. Read Zechariah 13:6. Read Ezekiel 16:33. Why, brothers and sisters? What is the root cause of pathy? It means you're on the wrong path. The Father you sent His Son Yahushua to put you on the right path. To remove all pathology. So pathology means if you find somebody that's a pathological liar, they are on the wrong path. And when you're on the wrong path, you rob your biological structure, your body, your cells, of receiving the necessary oxygen that they need. So they receive less oxygen because that's not their natural path. meaning that's not their natural design, meaning that they're not operating in their design, so they can't shine. So if I do anything else besides teach didactically, I'm going to be a pathological. I am establishing a pathological or a pathy. I am not using my life path. Now I'm on another path. The oxygen level is going to decrease. And it is this deduction in the oxygen level, speaking biologically, it's the same thing. The spiritually speaking, is the deduction of consciousness. So consciousness, because remember, oxygen makes you conscious. Oxygen keep you awake. Oxygen keep you aware. If I take your oxygen, what happened to you? You will pass out. Don't believe me? I got a chokehold technique I want to try out on somebody. So if you wanna, we can test. I can test out my new chokehold on you. Just come by 9339 Fox Grove Way. You know, call me before you show up, because I don't want to, you know, if you show up unannounced, you know, it may not go too well. But you know, just call me before you come. Let me know. Hey doc, I want to check out your theory, homie. You say if I stop breath, then what happens after there's a lack of oxygen? You tap out. You voluntarily tap out. That you lose consciousness. Let me say that again. If you remove oxygen, what happens? You lose consciousness. Let me say that again. If you want to test the theory, just swing by, give me a call, 210-290-5927. Let me know you're coming, and then I got a new chokehold I want to try out on you. I just learned off YouTube, so I need somebody to try it out on to see if it works. So you're gonna let me choke you out, and don't fight back now. Don't fight. Just peacefully go. Just let it go. Just give it up. And when you lose consciousness, you know. I got some smelling salt, and I know a little CPR. I can bring you back. But if you want to test out my theory that breath and consciousness are not the same thing, I mean that they are the same thing. If you have no breath, what do you lose? Consciousness. You lose awareness. So when you do this in the natural, what is the spiritual equivalent? Love. Love is the process of expanding consciousness through purpose. That's love. Love is your purpose. Love is your true potential. See, when you evolve and when you elevate, nobody should ever fall in love again. We all adults now. Stop doing that, y'all. Y'all, let's stop playing church. Okay, no more falling. Let's elevate. If love should elevate you. You should not fall in love. You should elevate in love. If you are quote unquote in love with a person, place, or thing, and it's not elevating you, you're not doing what the scripture called. you're not being germinated. In the scripture, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about greenness, and it talks about the ability to put forth something that germinates, that causes something to grow. That's love. Love is a desire breath that you desire, just like you want to breathe. That means you desire awareness and consciousness the same way you want to breathe. That's love. Love, my brothers and sisters, is the expansion in awareness and insight to the place where you have higher consciousness. That means the more oxygen you take in, the more conscious you are. The more oxygen that you put into, what happens to the cells when you actually give them the oxygen that they need? Do you know that you can't buy, you just can't go to the store and buy oxygen, like pure oxygen? It's dangerous, number one. But if your cells, if you give your cells what they need, wow, the cells, they regenerate themselves at the original level. Let me say that again. The cells, see, every cell in your body renews itself at a different point in time. And if you could understand the application of oxygenation, the ability to put oxygen deep down, that's why I do frequent intense training. Why? To get oxygen deep down into my cells. That's what Wim Hof does. That's what the guy that, you know, the Iceman, just Google Iceman, Wim Hof, You know, he swims in, you know, he puts himself in ice cold water. He shocks his immune system to activate his adaptive immune system to get oxygen deep down into the core. Diabetes, when they got to chop a foot or limb off, it's the fact that you're not getting oxygen to your extremities. Now, what if you, what happens when, I would like for everybody to try this. This is your homework for today to prove what I'm saying is correct. I want you to take a cold shower today. Put the water on as cold as you can get it, and then jump in, and then see what happens. And then email me. Now, I actually did this myself. I once in a while I do it. You know, I'm a little touched, so y'all gotta bear with me. But just take an ice cold shower. It's cold. I mean, turn the water all the way cold, and then jump in, and then watch what happens to your breath. And if you got a shower, stand underneath the shower so that the cold water hits the top of your head and watch what happens. And try to stay under there as long as you can. Now, but what I want you to do is I want you to take out a piece of paper and I want you to write it down. Watch what happens to your breath. How do you breathe? Do you breathe like this? How do you breathe like this? Watch what happens when you dunk yourself in cold water. Just do your own experiment. Now, don't take nobody else's word for it. You got to stay in there very long. But just, you know, put the water on cold as you can and let it hit the crown of your head, preferably, and dump in that cold water. Stay in the shower, cold water, as long as you can, and watch what happens to your breath. Just you know, hey, you know, higher consciousness. So all spiritual growth and decay is the result of higher consciousness or lower consciousness. Love is high consciousness. Hate is low consciousness. That's the problem with the world that we live in. We got a bunch of low vibratory Negroes running things, a.k.a. your homeboy, the Donald. Now, no disrespect. I'm a retired, you know, low vibrational being myself. But everybody got to come up eventually. You know, that's the goal for us to vibrate. So that's the first definition of love, and that is breath, the ability to breathe. It represents biologically breath, what I just did. That's the biological equivalent of love. Now, the spiritual equivalent of love is if I take your breath, what happens? You lose your consciousness. Now, again, if you want to test out my theory and make it a theorem, provable fact, I got a new chokehold I want to try out. So I can try my chokehold and you can lose consciousness. And then we both prove each other's theory. So we have a theorem. That's just the way that, you know, again, you don't have to guess. You can actually try this stuff out. It should be implementable. Whatever you believe, you should be able to implement it. So love is ahav. It's a Hebrew word. It means breath. It means consciousness. But it's a consciousness that's the equivalent of the desire for breath. That is your true nature. How do I know? Because when I try to take your breath, you fight. Now, how do I know? Again, I'm gonna put the chokehold on you. What happens? You have an automatic response to like scratch or bite or pull or kick. Very few people I see like go out peacefully. Like, if you get in a fight or an altercation, like you watch MMF when they be fighting and stuff, like, I don't see nobody that lay down and just take no aspiratus whoopings. Like, not no grown man. I mean, none of the grown men I know, they're not going to just lay down and just let you punk them. Now, there's a few out there, but they ain't very many. I mean, I don't know none. Like, if you come up on me and you try to take my money, then that's going to be what is called an altercation. But why? Self-preservation. That's love. Love is self-preservation. Love is a desire not to leave before it's your time. That's love. The biblical definition. And the universe, the universe, you said that you are designed that way. The universe designed you with fight or flight. It's a mechanism. It's tunnel vision. It's that when you are in a state, your body produces adrenaline so that way you have extra energy to fight off your enemy. So you got adrenaline, and it's released into the body so that way you are stronger and you're faster. The adrenaline is designed so that way you can stay in love. So if you're on the planet, you're here because love is the process of awakening to your true nature, your true purpose, and your true potential. Let me say it again. Love is the process of awakening. I know a lot of Negroes, they're not awakening. They're not engaging. They're not in love. They talk about love, but they're not in love. If you are in love, you should be in love. If you're not in love, you should try it out. It's actually pretty good, pretty awesome. You should be in love, and you should have a person. There should be a place, and there should be a thing. You should have all three. You should have a person, you should have a place, and you should have a thing. Now, I've broken it down into my chart. It's called wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. You should be in love in all four categories. You should be on a path with something that you love. You should be being, not doing. You should be being something. See, right now, I am being a didactic teacher. So I am in love with being a didactic teacher. I am in love with what I do. That's why I talk so long. That's why I got 50 books. That's why I got 5,000 shows. That's why I love what I do. Then you should be in love with health. That's why I love going to the gym. I love when I detox. I love it. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want. Remember, love is desire, the same way you desire to. That's love. Do you got a, I hate to use the word diet, but do you have a, because diet is the wrong word, that should be a eating lifestyle that you love. You need to get one if you don't got one. There should be some things that are healthy for you that you love, and you eat those things to get oxygen into your cells. That way you can be conscious. Next is wisdom. Do you have a school? Do you have a study? Are you in love with intelligence? Are you in love with growing and expanding what you know? Are you in love? Are you just studying it because, you know, you don't want to go to hell? Studying it because, you know, the Reverend Dr. Bishop told you. Are you just studying because mama and daddy made you go? Are you in love with what you're researching, brother? Are you in love with what you're spending your time with? Are you in love? Do you desire it the same way you desire to breathe? Or do you love what you're studying the same way you love breathing? If not, you need to call me yesterday. You need to sign up with the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, because that way we can connect you with your true, authentic nature. And last but not least is relationship. Are you in love with God? See, if you got a God that, you know, you're scared of him because he's gonna zap you if you don't do this, you don't tie, you're gonna get zapped. You got one of them kind of deities, then, you know, it's difficult to love that kind of deity, because if you slip up, you know, a lot of people have rules before a relationship instead of relationship before rules. See, it's difficult to have a relationship with children if only thing that you give them is rules and no relationship. But it's easy to have a relationship with children when you put the relationship before the rule, because the relationship is based upon love. When you put love first, then the rules are easy to follow, because the rules, your desire for love overrides your desire to keep the rule. So relationship, you need to be in love in order for the relationship to work. See, as we progress on our pathology, our spiritual essence begins to blossom if we're on the right path. That's how you know you're on the right path, because you start to produce something called fruit. I've never seen a tree that's planted that doesn't produce fruit, that has the capacity to produce fruit. So love is like it's like any garden. So when you put something in a garden, you have to be careful, because if you don't watch it, it can be consumed by weeds. It can be consumed by bugs. So there's all types of bugs and pollutants out there that want to destroy your beautiful garden. So you got to be careful, because love is the same way. When you plant love, there is weeds. The weeds are distractions, and distractions, they come to stifle or to stamp out love. Joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So it's very important, brothers and sisters, to over and understand when we're talking about love, what we are really saying. So now let's flip over to, that was the Old Testament definition. Now let's go to the New Testament and let's define your true nature. Your true essence, the reason why you are on the planet, when you are left alone without the cares of this world, without the lust of the flesh, and without the pride of life. If you can get those three things out of your life, you will vibrate on your natural level of love. If you can get rid of the cares of this world, oh, yeah, that's a problem, Brother Will, because I care about my Lashirans. You know, I care about this person. I care. Okay, then the pride of life. Hey, I got my house. I got my job, you know, paying me, you know, hey, $200K. And, you know, I'm proud, Brother Will. I'm proud. Okay, yeah. Love doesn't exist there. It is extremely important, my brothers and sisters, because it is the cares of this world. It is the lust of the flesh, and it is the pride of life. That's the weed that stamples out care. Love. Now, let me say that again, brothers and sisters, because there's weeds growing in your garden. Love is your natural state, natural. So there's a lot of people, they're not natural. They're not authentic. See, let me see if I can say this without getting too emotional. We all have a desire. That desire is to be loved, if you're honest. When I was a young whippersnapper growing up, a lot of men, like especially black men, I couldn't find no black men. And I was talking with a client about this morning. Happened to be a black man from Atlanta, and he ran into the same problem that I ran into as a young man. All the Negroes I knew, you have to join, you know, this society. You have to, you know, come down to the altar. You have to do some hoop jumping in order to receive love. See, and the way my savings account is set up, it's not set up for hoop jumping. I'm just saying. So I always had a problem, so I was a lone wolf. Because I couldn't find a black man, or a white man for that matter, that was willing to invest in me, that saw worth and value in me. And it's a travesty, because it still exists today. How many black men do you know? Men, not they don't have to be black. I got to stop saying black, any man for that matter, or woman. That's authentic and transparent. And they're willing to teach you how to be authentic and transparent. Like, I don't know any. I don't know none. Because if a young black man just wants to, number one, you it's hard to find a young person who wants to learn. But they're the one out of that maybe one in a million that one person under the age of 21 who don't know it all, or who under the age of 30 who don't know it all already. That one person, when they do try to find somebody to, you know, to show them the ropes, so to speak, they got all these conditions. Or they're not authentic. They're not transparent. Now, I'm not perfect. I have a lot of issues that I'm, you know, thankfully don't have as many as I did yesterday or the day before. The Father is showing me, because, see, I'm in the kingship program. So when I read Matthew chapter 13, verse, 6, 7, 8, I know that the Father is what I talked about yesterday. There is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he's revealing those mysteries. And he has revealed them. And the mysteries at the base and at the core is, I'm a king. I'm a royal priest. I'm a holy nation. So it is about kingship. It's about understanding how to be kings and queens. So we are kings and queens. And the only way to be the king and to be a king is to have breath or love. The process of awakening and returning back to your true nature, your true source, your true purpose. Okay, well, what does that mean, Brother Will? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Matthew 5, 43 is the first time the word love is mentioned in the New Testament, Matthew 5, 33. And it says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Okay, that destroys most people's theology that I know right there. Because most people I know, God does only for this person or that person. Then Matthew 5:46 says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward do you have? Does not even the publicans do the same? So this word love in Matthew, starting on Matthew 5:43, is totally different from the word love that's found in, which was Genesis 4 or something that we read earlier. Now, this word is agapeo, and it's a Greek word. It's not a Hebrew word. But this word love, it means to welcome. It means to be fond of. So it means, which is mentioned 147 times in 109 verses in the Greek concordance. So this definition of this word love is mentioned just as much as the first definition of love that has to do with breath or consciousness. So now we're coming into a whole new understanding with this definition of love, because it's talking about something that's extremely important. And now this word agapeo or agape has an underlying word, which is phileo. So it has to do with fondness. It has to do with affection, and it has to do with approval. So love is a consciousness. It is a awareness. It is a breath that seeks or that desires approval of, that desires affection, or that desires fondness, or that desires association or familiarity or companionship. So we have a desire for consciousness. That's the first definition of love. Now remember, this is our true core nature that has to be manipulated through the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the cares of this world. Those are the weeds. That you got a garden, and your garden is love. That means you do this every day, so that way you can see in the spirit realm. So the more you breathe biologically, you get oxygen into your cells, you're healthier. That allows you not to worry about back pain or stomach pain or knee pain or ankle pain or all of the pains that happen in our body, because we're holding energy inside of our body instead of breathing and letting it out. Because remember, energy is emotion. So emotions that are not expressed are stored in our body. Let me say it again. Emotions that are not expressed, exposed, and expanded in love are stored in the body. Let me say it again. Emotions that are not expressed, exposed, and expanded through conscious, fond association and a companionship, fondness, and what's another word, Father? Approval, affectionately welcoming aboard, personal attachment or attention to, embracing non-judgmentally. If you now remember, if you're conscious and you got breath, but it's not agapeo breath, meaning that you're not welcome, you're not an open, you're not authentic, you're a closet dude, you got a secret life, you ain't an open book, then you're not welcoming, you're not entertaining, you're not fond of, you're not socially connected, you're not willing, I should say, to allow someone into your goodwill, and you're not willing to exhibit the same. Because you could have the first part of love, but you don't have the second part of love. I know a lot of people that have breath. I know a lot of people that are conscious. I know a lot of people that have a desire. But their desire is not to be fond. Their desire is not to be affectionate. I know a lot of black men that ain't got no affection, my father being one of them. Now, in his defense, his father didn't have none either. Oh, I try to be affectionate with my children because my father wasn't affectionate with me. Now, affectionate and fondness is a disposition or a state of mind. It's not an action. Let me pause for a second. Father, touch the minds of your people. Affection. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you can drop this down in your spirit. Affection. So what is an affectionate person? What is the word affection? What does it mean when we say we are affectionate with everyone and in every situation? See, because there is a time and a place when you can be or you should express fondness and affection. There is a time and a place. See, I didn't grow up in a touchy-feely family. I didn't grow up in one of those. So therefore, I wasn't touchy-feely. Now, I wish I had have been a little bit more touchy-feely, but I'm not. So the word affection has the meanings. It means to adore. So affection is a Spanish word, amor, or Latin word, amor. So amor, it means to cherish something, not care. It means to cherish. So love is simply adoration. Another way of saying love is to adore. So if when you are affectionate, it means that you adore something. Now, adore is adore. And again, Yahushua says, I am the door, one of his I am statements. Or he says, I am the gate. All who enters must enter in through the gate, through me. So the gate, the D-O-O-R is the D-O-R-E. So adore, is Yahushua. Jesus is the door. And he uses adore. So adore uses adore. So the A-D-O-O-R uses A-D-O-R-E, adore. So adore is two things. Now, if you can wrap your brain around this, it'll change your life. Adore means love, one, respect, love. Now, men, we are told to love our wives. Women, you are told to respect your man. Do you see how the Father has set everything up so that way you don't have no problems? So love is this fond affection and this mutual respect. So men, we're supposed to give love. Women, you're supposed to give respect. That's what the scripture says. Let me say that again. Extremely important. So inside the word adore, so the door that puts you on the right path is love and respect. Let me say that again. You are on the wrong path, brother. You're on the wrong path, sister. If the path you're on is not the path of love and respect. Now, a lot of people have one, but they don't have the other. A lot of people, they love you, but they don't. It's probably your fault that they don't respect you because you don't respect yourself. So this is extremely important because you don't want a weed to grow up in your garden, and you don't want to cause weeds to grow up in other people's garden. You don't want to be a stumbling block to your brother. So this word, adore, it has to do with something that you have the utmost respect or esteem for or honor, adore. So this word has to do with almost, it's such a high reverence. It's borderline worship, adore. That's what love is. Now, remember, it is the awareness of this. You have to welcome, you have to entertain this. What do you have to welcome? What do you have to entertain? Well, worship. Now, worship is a strong word, but the word adore, it means to pay divine honors. It means to bow down before. It means to adore, to worship, or to praise. It means to speak fondly of, adore. It's a auditory term. It means to honor very highly, to be very fond of something, adore. So love has to do with this adoration. It has to do with, again, this adornment or the ability to be a door. Notice it didn't say to be a doormat, women. Let me say it again. It did not say be a doormat. I cannot find the word mat nowhere. I can find the word adore, but I cannot find the word mat. See, a lot of people have added the word mat, and you let men run all over you, women. Men, you let women run all over you. You hooked on the poo nanny, and you got your nose wide open, and you put your cojones in the jar. You need to get them out that jar because you're supposed to love. The woman is supposed to respect. And at the core and at the base of both love and respect is the word door. That's how you open the door and you walk freaking through it. Now, I've never seen a place where I went and I worshiped doors. I never went to a house and just looked at the door. And I was happy and satisfied. I went and I looked at the door and I worshiped the door and then I went home. I've never done that. I've never even been to a church door and praised the door. I always went through the door into the house. Because the house, that's where the Father is at. The Father is in the house. Yahushua is the door that takes you to the Father. So the goal is to get to the Father. But you got to go through the door. That's what Yahushua said. No man goes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. I didn't make this shit up. Jesus himself said that. Am I reading the right Bible? Am I the only one? Jesus himself said, I am the door. So you're supposed to go through the door. Now, that's what love is. Love is our true nature, not hate. Why is love our true nature? And how come we're not? Everybody told me that, they told me that, you little knucklehead, you're worthless dung and whale trash and all this other interesting stuff. But deep down inside, there's something different. Because deep down inside of you, there is a spirit, but it's been overgrown with something called the flesh. So when somebody identifies me as well done, I know because I read Romans 7. Now, before I read Romans 7, I associated my flesh with my spirit. And I thought I was supposed to love with my flesh. That's why my definition of love, was, giving away, the male genitalia. We put it that way. So I thought it was physical. I didn't know that it was a mental disposition. As I just said, adore is a mental disposition. Affection is a mental disposition. Respect is a mental disposition. Love is a mental disposition. Why? All of these are spirit. Why? God is spirit. Those that work for him, a.k.a. worship, they must work for him in the spirit. That's what the Bible that I read says. So God is the two attributes that is your true nature. And you are his offspring. You made in his image and his likeness. So how, why would you think you are anything other than what? Now, my sons and daughters, they are made in my image, in my likeness. They look like me. Now, it's a stretch, but, you know, you can see some features of me and their mama. So why would you think, and all of their attributes and characteristics come from me and their mama, and from my mother and father, and from their mother and father. So we didn't get no attributes, like my children didn't get no attributes and characteristics from no Chinese people. How come? There's no Chinese in our genealogy, to my knowledge. So none of my children have Chinese features, attributes, or characteristics. Why? It ain't their freaking nature. Chinese is not in our nature. It's not in our gene pool. So we have extrapolated things into our nature that's not a part of the God kind. You're of the God kind. You're of the God class, but you're acting, as the Bible says, you know, you're on this earth and you're sent down here as an angle of light, but you're going to die like men. That's what it says in the book of Psalms. It says that you will die like men or like a man. It did not say that you was a man, at least the way I read it. So Psalms 82:6 says, and I have said unto you, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. Okay, sign me up for that program. Now, I did not say this. This is Psalms 82:6. Whoever wrote Psalms 82:6 says, you are gods. Let me say it again. I know it hurts your brain, right? It hurts, man. It hurts. Your brain is like ding, ding, ding. Brain is hurting. I understand. But Psalms 82:6 says, I have said you are gods, little g with an S, more than one. You are sons of the Most High God. Verse 7. But like mortals, you will die. And like the rulers, you will fail. So you're not a man, contrary to popular belief. Now, you are a spirit God. You're inside of the body of a man, dirt suit. Now, you drive like I am not my car. I drive my car. I am not my house. I live inside my house. Your body is your house. Do you not know that your body is a temple? Now, temples are places you go inside. So you are not the temple. You make the temple. You animate the temple. This frame building is a house, but I make it a home. So me, my wife, my kids, we make this place that we call a house, a home. You are not a body. You are a spirit that has possession of a soul that's manifesting itself through a body. But if you think you're a body, you will die like a body. Psalms 82:6. And 7. Now you should be saying, well, Brother Will, that's Old Testament, brother. I don't believe in no Old Testament. No problem, boo-boo. I got you. Let's go over to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Romans 7 and 14. Now remember, this is your true nature. But somebody told you that you was a person. Somebody told you that you was an individual. Somebody told you that you was a heel man. Somebody told you that you was a hue, color, bent light being. But the Helios Biblia says that you're not. So Romans 7:14, we'll start with verse 13. Romans 7:13. Did that which is good, or do that which is good, then become death to me. Certainly not. But in order that sin might be exposed, let me say that again, in order that sin sine waves, up and down, duality might be exposed. Let me say it again. In order that sin, hamantano, living without your lot, your share, your destiny, living in pathology, living in a disease state, Remember, a pathological state is a disease state. Living in a disease state, it got to be exposed. So the father is in the disease exposing mission. He exposes diseases for what they are. How does the father, the big father, not the little one, not the one down chimp, the one down chimp, that's not the father. He's the anti-father. He's fake. He's phony. He's the pretender. But the big one, the big G says, but in order that sin might be exposed as sin, it produced death in me through what was good. Now, I don't know if you got that. It produced death in me through what was good. So that through the commandment, sin might become ultimately sinful. So rules were given to enhance sin. These rules, Ten Commandments. Let me say that again. Give you Ten Commandments. Can anybody keep those Ten Commandments? No. What does not keeping the Ten Commandments do? Exposes what? Weaknesses. What are weaknesses? Disease. What is a disease? Apathy. What is apathy? Apathy is a frequency that is not love, that is harnessed inside of the organs of the body. So if you got any emotion that's not love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, or self-control, you are a pathological blank. You have apathy. You got a disease. So the father said that there's a disease that's called human, because we're spirits. But some kind of way, this flesh, I need to expose it for what it is, because it produces death. Spirits don't die. Carbon does. Organic does. Flesh does. Verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual. So we know that the problem is not with the law, quote unquote, the commandments, even though it produced death in me, even though it was good. So why do y'all think I feel good while doing bad? Yeah, preach that on Sunday. Let me say that again. I don't know nobody. Well, there might be a few folks out there who overstands. Love is our true nature, brothers. Love is our true nature. So no matter what I'm doing in my flesh, I'm feeling good in my head. Let me say that again. No matter what I'm doing in my flesh, I'm feeling good in my head. Where you get that from, brother? Romans 7:14 says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Verse 15, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, that I do. Well, that sounds like a bunch of verbal mumbo jumbo, brother. Okay, let's Romans 7:16. Because there's a concern. And the concern is, Romans 7:16 said it this way. And if I do what I do not want to do, I admit that the law is good. So what this is saying is what Galatians 5 says, which says Galatians 5, 17? For the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. The two are opposites. The two are contrary to one another. So what does that mean in English? Because we can sit up here and we can use spiritual judo and spiritual mumbo jumbo, but we can't pay our light bill with that. So how do you pay your light bill? Well, you bring about what you think about. So you do bad and you think bad. Guess what you bring about? So you go out, there's 10 commandments. Now remember, the commandments are good, but they bring about bad. Why? Because when you don't do the commandments, how you feel? Is there anybody that don't do the commandments and they feel like they did them? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, that's what I thought. Is there anybody that the Bible says, thou shalt not steal? Then you go steal and you believe the Bible, you're raised up in the church, and you go steal, you violate God's law, and you feel good? Yeah, I don't know nobody who do that other than me. But I need you to get on board with that. I need you to get on board with understanding. Now, I'm not saying that you go and violate spiritual law. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is how you feel in your head. What you do in the body should not affect how you feel in your head. Why? Because there are people who manipulate your body so that way they can control your head, a.k.a. your spirit. So the powers that be, they smart. See, Lucien Favre, he's the most cunning. He knows that if he, whoever controls your biology, controls you. So if he put chemtrails in the air, now, don't believe me, go get a hammer and hit your big toe. How you going to feel? Now, I know I had pain in my jaw, and I didn't feel good. I was curled up in a fetal position, crying like a newborn baby. Why? Pain. It was in my body, though. It wasn't in my spirit. But what did it do? It affected my spirit to the point that I was no spiritually good. So the enemy knows that he can use your body to control your spirit. And the Father knows that, too. So the Father needs you to overstand the enemy's game. Whoever controls your biology controls your theology. So if I want to control your theology, I control your biology. That's what they do. That's what they got fluoride in your water. That's why they got genetically modified organisms. That's why they're promoting their agenda. That's why they got predictive programming. So they can control your spirit. They're after your spirit, not your body. They can regenerate bodies. They got clones while they're walking around already. So they can regenerate bodies, but they can't generate spirit. So they need your spirit, brother. They need your spirit. So love is the only thing that keeps your spirit separated from your body. Faith, hope, and love, the grace of these three are love. So Galatians 5 says this. So I say, walk by the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Boom. Drop mic. It's the stage left. That's it. Galatians 5:16 is your natural vibratory state. This is your operating statement. This is how your brain should operate. Walk by the Spirit. So walk by the Spirit. That means that the Spirit is empowering you to walk, not the flesh. The Spirit. And if you are empowered to walk by your Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, the King James says walk in the Spirit. Now, Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh, let me read this in the King James. Galatians 5:17, King James, and we're just about done, 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Isn't that the same thing we just read in Romans 14 and 15? I do not understand what I do, for I want to do what is right, but I do what I don't want to do. Then Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good lives in me. What? Hold up. Time out. You mean all of this flesh? You mean nothing? I mean, there got to be something, right? There's something redeemable. So let me get this right. So everything that you do on this earth is you do for the benefit of the flesh, but it has no spiritual value. I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out because my flesh is saying, like when you want to fast, your flesh produces something called hunger. And the hunger pains releases chemicals in the body that says, eat, fool, eat. And you're spiritual. Your spirit is saying, no, don't eat. That slows us down. That ways we can connect with the Father. But, you know, it takes us longer to connect with the Father when your gut, your intestines, because your first brain is your gut. Your second brain is your heart. Your third brain is your head. So it goes from the gut to the heart, to the head. So if the gut is whack, the body's, you know, everything else pretty much whack. So your spirit is saying, let's clean out the gut. So that means you got to detox. That means you can't put nothing in. You're pushing everything that's in there out. But it releases a chemical in your brain that says, eat, 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 eat. We need food. So the flesh, it operates on a different set of rules than the spirit. It's not that the flesh is bad from the perspective. It's bad from the perspective of its purpose is different from your spirit. So your job is to understand that. Why? Romans 7:23. For I see another law at work in my body, warring against the law of my mind and holding me captive to the law of sin that dwells in me. So there's a different set of rules. The body has a different purpose than the spirit. What is the purpose of the Spirit? The purpose of the Spirit is for you to return to your Father. The purpose of the Spirit is for you to operate in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. What is the purpose of the body? The purpose of the body is for it to keep itself alive. The purpose of the body is for you to get minerals and enzymes for it to renew itself so it can stay alive. The purpose of the body is for you to just get breath so the body can stay alive. The spirit doesn't need the body. The body needs the spirit. See, the spirit can exist without the body. It's just on a different dimension, a different plane. So absent from the body, bam, you're on a different plane, present with the Lord. So there, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, Romans 8:5. But those who live according to the spirit set their minds on things of the spirit. So as the mind goes, so the flesh or the spirit goes. Remember that Native American saying, everybody has two wolves, a good wolf and a bad wolf. Which wolf is going to win? Well, the one that you feed, Romans 8:5. So if you feed the flesh, what happens? You're going to be, you know, the fruit of the flesh. If you feed the flesh, do not be surprised. So you mean to tell me you can't tell the difference between a spiritual person and a fleshly person? Why not? What is the fruit of the flesh? Anybody? Do y'all remember your scriptures? Well, brothers and sisters, fruit of the flesh is totally different than the fruit of the spirit. Because the fruit of the flesh is all low vibratory stuff. What is fruit of the flesh? You know, idolatry, adultery, what is one? Anxiety, you know, fear, doubt, unbelief. All of that stuff is what we call the works or the fruit of the flesh. And then we have the fruit of the spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So I know the fruit of the spirit. I know the fruit of the spirit. I have that memorized. The fruit of the flesh, not so much. I know idolatry, witchcraft. There we go. Hatred. What's the other one? Variance, wrath, envy, strife, jealousy. All of that is the fruit of the flesh. So when I see people who do that, we all vibrate back and forth. That's totally normal. But it should be 60-40, or it should be 51-50. That means you're at least trying. 51-50. 51% of the time you're in the spirit, and then 49% of the time you're in the flesh. Okay, we can work with that. But if you 60-40 the other way, there's something called prayer that might be needed. You might need a little meditation. You know, you need to you got to get a little bit closer to God, because love is the process of awakening to your true nature, and that is there is a desire to be conscious to the fact that you want to be fond and affectionate. That's it. That's your true nature. You should have a natural desire. That's called consciousness. Breath, to be fond and affectionate. You should have a natural desire. So if you don't have a natural, now again, let's be honest, man. Let's be really, let's close today's message on honesty and transparency and integrity. I know deep down inside of my heart, my intention. If I got it, you got it. If I was a billionaire, everybody, you know, and that's, you know, and I don't know if that would be the best thing, but I would give. Since I'm not a billionaire yet, I can teach you how to get your own billion. That may be even better. But because I have a big heart, I know I would try to help everybody. So that's why the Father made me a teacher. Because he said, well, we give him all the money, he's going to give it away. So let's teach him how to make money, how to be healthy, how to be wise, and how to have great relationships, because that fool likes to talk. Then he could teach people. Okay, yeah, that's his purpose. So I'm a six. I got a big heart, and if it was up to me, nobody would work. We all would be at the Bahamas right now. I'd be doing this podcast. We'd all be sitting on the beach in the Bahamas with our feet in the water, and we'd all be sipping our pina coladas, and y'all be high-fiving. Good show, Brother Will. Good show, Brother Will. We all be high-fiving each other as we're sipping our pina coladas on the beach. If I was God, that would be everybody would be wealthy. Everybody would be healthy. Everybody would be wise. Everybody would be in a Tokyo relationship. But yeah, the father, yeah, he didn't make me his right hand man. So therefore, I'm going to teach everybody how to get your own wealth, how to get your own health, how to get your own wisdom, and how to establish your own relationship. Since I can't give you all that stuff, I can teach you how to get it yourself, because that's all I did. So I'm a teacher. So every day I wake up, I love. So I know there is no pathy in my body. So the enemy has to try to introduce weeds. He's trying to give me a spiritually transmitted disease. He's trying to give me this fool's trying to give me an STD. He's trying to, why? He knows that I know the secret. I said I was going to close with the other one. Let's close with the secret. The secret I read last night for my private group when I did the Kingdom Meeting Ash training class, and that's found in Matthew chapter 13. The secret to all secrets, to all secrets, to all secrets is Matthew chapter 13. So we read Matthew chapter 13 last night, and the secret starts in like verse 7 or 8. I'm just going to paraphrase it. You guys can look it up, you know, and read it yourself. Because in there, in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 13, I think it's verse 7 or 8. Well, he's talking about the seeds and he's talking about the garden. And so the disciples ask him, okay, Jesus, you the man, but you talking in circles. Dude, why are you talking, you know, in circles? Why are you talking parables? Because you said that the seed is supposed to produce a crop 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. So that means when you speak, those are seeds. When we hear it, that seed hits my ear. It goes into my body. That's the soil. And my body, my spirit, should produce 100-fold, 60-fold. And if you just got one ear and you barely listening to the word of God, you should be producing 30-fold a return. So if I give you, you know, a dollar, you should at minimum $30. You should be 30. You should amp it up 30%, or 60%, 60, or 100%, $100. Everybody should be doing that. And then he tells me the secret to how to do it. And this is the Kingdom Ministry Training Center. This is what I teach. This is what I'm all about. And he said the reason why you can do it is because I speak in parables. That was Matthew 13, like verse 10. And so then they ask him, okay, why are you speaking parables? Because he says, the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, I gave it to you and not to them. And whoever that I've given it to, they're going to produce more abundance because they have a key that opens the door so that way they can produce. So you have the knowledge. You got it. Because God said he gave it to you. Now, the word knowledge means you intuitively know. That means it's in your gut. So the Father put it, the Bible says he's written his laws, and he's not written them on tablets of stone. He's written them on the heart and the mind of his people. So in your heart, something that you know. Now, your heart is your gut. So your gut, it knows something. And your gut knows the mystery. Now, we look at that word mystery. In my class, it means the secret. And it's the mystery of the secret of what? Of the kingdom. And the word we looked it up, it means basileia. That means rule and royalty of heaven or Uranus or sky, which means God gave me and you the ability to know the secret of kingship in heaven. It was given to us. That's the secret of secrets. So I'm a king and you're a queen. So we are kings. This is called kingship. So we are establishing the kingship of the king because we're all kings. That's the secret of the parable. So everybody, listen to the sound of my voice, you are able to vibrate on the same frequency as the basileia. That is the word for the English word kingdom. That means royalty. That means king. That means ruler. That means reign. That means domain or dominion. Everybody has dominion. You have authority. So now you got to walk. And the Bible says you should know that already. So what I told you, this should just resonate. You should say, yeah, brother, well, I already know that, brother. What else you got? That should resonate with your spirit. That's like if you walk up to me and say, hey, Brother Will, you know what, dude? oh, man, you're a short black man. And I go, damn, for real? So if I have that response, something's wrong. But if you walk up to me and say, Brother Will, you're a short black man, I'm going to be like, for real, dude? Like, yeah, I already know that. So what I just said, Matthew 13, really verse 11, your response should be, if that's news to you, boo-boo, you behind the curveball, homie. You got to catch up. You are a king. You ain't no peasant. You're a priest. You're a royal priest. So therefore, guess what? From today forward, carry yourself as a king. Because that's what you should know. That's how you produce fruit, by maintaining the mindset of the king. And the mindset of the king is love. That's your true nature. Why? God is love. If the king is love and you're the offspring of the king, what else would you be? Now, the king is love. The big G is love. He did not create love. He is love. So if God is love, brothers and sisters, I am the one and only Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. the king of my castle. Because my kingship comes from Father. It doesn't come from man. Now, the Father has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. All you got to do is walk in it. Because if you walk in the Spirit, you cannot and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So brothers and sisters, this is your boy Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will make no doubt about it. I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah, focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home. Cause you're the entity that made them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours.
Back of all my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, Captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll